from all your fears.
Are you a house rich but cash poor senior citizen? If so, you've no doubt thought about getting a reverse mortgage to help make ends meet each month. But you also have to consider, is the cure worse than the ailment? Well, you can't watch daytime TV without seeing a commercial for reverse mortgages. The pitch sounds good, but is it? Financial planner and teacher Rob West has some alternatives to reverse mortgages. Then he takes your questions on anything financial at 800-525-7000. 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore, and we're looking out for seniors next right here on MoneyWise Live. Well, Rob, indeed, that reverse mortgage pitch does look good. And that guy with the mustache, he's a good-looking guy, too. I mean, after all, who couldn't use a big, fat lump sum payment or a nice monthly check from a reverse mortgage company, huh?
Well, no doubt, Steve, that money would come in handy, especially for someone who has all or most of their house paid off but still struggles with day-to-day expenses. But you can't get something for nothing, as you know. And so to get that money, you're first and foremost giving up equity in your home. You're funding that cash flow with debt. I think this bothers a lot of seniors who'd like to leave something for their heirs, not a mortgage company. Remember, what sounds good doesn't always work out that way. Reverse mortgages typically have higher interest rates and other costs. You pay the usual closing costs you would for any mortgage, appraisal, loan recording, credit check, and title insurance. But then you'll also have to pay a mandatory counseling fee. That's a 2% mortgage insurance fee up front, then an annual mortgage insurance fee on top of that, and a monthly loan servicing fee of up to $30 if your interest rate adjusts monthly.
Okay. All right. What else to watch out for with reverse mortgages? Though it seems like you've already covered quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, the first one was all about fees. But I would say the other thing, Steve, is you really have to know who you're dealing with. As we said, the pitch always sounds good, but reverse mortgage companies haven't always lived up to their promises. A couple of years ago, for instance, the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau fined three of these companies for deceptive advertising. Consumer Reports happens to say you should consider a reverse mortgage company only if there's no other way to stay in your home and pay your bills.
Okay. Obviously, lots of seniors might find themselves in that boat, however, particularly now. So what are the alternatives that we mentioned earlier in the program that we have?
Yeah, here are four of them to consider, Steve. First, sell your home and buy something smaller. That would leave you with the difference in cash, of course. Now, this can be difficult from an emotional standpoint because a home you've lived in and perhaps raised your children in can hold a lot of memories. Not only will this, though, give you the cash you need, but the reduced expenses may just be what you need to balance your budget. The next one is, if you haven't entirely paid off the home yet, consider refinancing the balance you owe. Interest rates are obviously very low right now, and that could reduce your monthly payment and free up some cash so you can balance that budget. The only caveat to that is that you don't want to extend the term of the loan. If you have 10 years left on your current mortgage, you'll want to refinance with only a new 10-year mortgage.
Okay, that's two alternatives, I think. Anything else?
Well, this next one might be a little outside the box, but how about selling the home to a family member, perhaps children who would be heirs anyway when you go home to the Lord? If you sell the property to a family member, you get the cash out, then you can lease it back and remain living there. A family member can take advantage of tax breaks for landlords, and that may work for some folks, not in every case, of course. And then one final option is a variation of that. It's an inter-family mortgage. The family member buys the house from you, but you owner finance. They make the monthly mortgage payment to you instead of a bank giving you the cash to meet your expenses.
Okay, now let me confess that the last two that you mentioned sounded a little, I don't want to say convoluted, but you had to listen closely to catch all those details. Obviously, those two last two things are on the up and up, nothing shady going on there at all, right?
No, and it's complicated enough that you should consult with an estate or tax attorney on how to do this without incurring the wrath of the IRS, I'll say. But I think any of these alternatives are worth investigating if you have equity in your home and you don't want to sign it over to a reverse mortgage company. Now, I will say, Steve, I'm not saying reverse mortgages don't ever have a place. In some cases, they can make some sense. I just want you to understand what you're getting into, work with the right person, understand the fees involved, and make sure you explore every other option first.
Okay, that's great information, Rob. We appreciate that. Obviously, we get calls all the time about reverse mortgages and every situation being just a little bit different. In fact, if you have a question today about this or, again, anything financial, we have lots of open lines. 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise Live.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now, instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
If you need investing guidance, you probably want help that's grounded in God's Word. That's the approach taken by Sound Mind Investing. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire wisdom and confidence in their investing. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a good and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available online at soundmindinvesting.org.
You've heard this saying, I'm sure. If you want it to rain, just plan a picnic. That's not exactly the same as Murphy's Law, but it is close. Life has a way of handing us the wrong thing at the wrong time. No wonder the motto of the Boy Scouts is, be prepared. James, one of the early apostles, had a wise perspective on planning for the future. He wrote that we should always preface our plans with this statement, if it's the Lord's will. That's not fatalism, that's faith. It's saying, nothing that happens will shake my confidence in God. I trust Him no matter what. And this is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's providential protection on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com and get your roadmap for life. Route 66, start your journey home today.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Hey, pleased as punch to have you along today. It's MoneyWise Live. We are COVID-free, and we'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. Rob has his mask on, which is why he might be a little hard to understand today. That's just his regular face.
No, okay, yeah, thank you. Sorry. Appreciate that.
800-525-7000. Wow. Rob, when I was a boy...
Yes.
Just not that long ago, really.
Right.
There was a local dairy. I think they were local. And they used to, in all their advertising, they used to tout how all their milk came from contented cows. Uh-huh. Now, you ask, why am I believing? What was this, a farming program today? Agriculture? What's the, you know? Now, the point is, we were talking about some scripture earlier, and contentment shows up quite a bit in God's Word, and often it applies to us and what we have and what we don't have, right?
Well, that's exactly right, Steve. You know, I really believe that this idea of contentment is one of God's big ideas as it relates to our money, or I should say his money, and our management of it as stewards. You know, if we can really learn this idea of contentment, and remember the Apostle Paul said it was a learned behavior, I think it really positions us for God's best. Because here's what happens when we begin to practice and learn this idea of contentment. First of all, it puts us in a place where we live within God's provision. I am content with what God has provided. Therefore, I will not try to live outside of that, which you and I both know when that happens, that results in debt. You know, another thing I think is key here is that comparison is a contentment killer. And here's what I mean by that. You know, if you're constantly comparing yourself to others, you're looking at what they have, you're watching them on social media, you're trying to keep up with the neighbor next door and the new car he or she just brought home and the improvements to their house. If you're trying to compare yourself all the time, that is a contentment killer. You are going to struggle with living that contented life. And so I think the big idea for us in terms of increasing our contentment, Steve, is really to focus on what God has given us and not what he has given others. And that begins with gratitude, really just a recognition of, Lord, you've entrusted me with so much. Just start to think through it, beginning with your own salvation and then moving right on from there. And perhaps as an exercise today, if you want to lean into this idea of contentment and get out of the comparison trap, maybe you ought to start keeping a gratitude journal of what God is showing you and teaching you and what he has in fact blessed you with. But if we can get to the place where we live those contented lives, not lowering our expectations so we won't get disappointed, but raising our expectations in the presence of a powerful, faithful God, I think, Steve, that's when we put ourselves on the road to true financial freedom.
Well said, Rob. Another thing that a lack of contentment can be is a marriage killer. Quite often, at least from the callers that we hear from and the letter writers that we hear from, the husband thinks one thing, the wife thinks another, vice versa. But one of them wants to buy some more stuff, get a larger home, a newer car. The other doesn't. And then what you have is not only an issue with contentment, but now you've got a marriage problem going on. That's not good either. So, you know, is there any secret in the Christian home to communicating better about these kinds of issues?
Well, Steve, I think it really starts on your knees, and then it starts with open and honest communication, and that really has to have prayer preceding it. But once you pray through it and you really begin to align your vision, goals, and dreams for your family, which includes your money, because that's the tool that God gives us to accomplish his goals and objectives for us, and we align that with our values and our deeply held priorities, and together we set those joint goals as husband and wife, then the way we handle finances day to day and month to month is just a reflection of moving toward what God has for us. And I think that's the opportunity we have. So it's open communication with prayerful, faithful goals and objectives that then inform our daily spending decisions.
Okay, thanks. And again, our phone number, if you'd like to speak with Rob West today about anything you're wondering about, whether it's buying a newer, bigger house, maybe it's refinancing, maybe it's the reverse mortgages we opened today's program talking about, or whatever's on your mind, call while we have open lines, 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000. We have a call, or we have a question from one of our callers. We were having trouble getting him on the line, Rob. He's on a fixed income, and he has some debt to pay off. It'll take him 2 years or more to pay it off, and he doesn't want to miss a payment. Any ideas of how to best handle this? Sounds to me like he's just maybe the fixed income is a challenge for him as far as making all these payments.
Yeah, I think, you know, the key for that, Dale, first of all, is to start with that spending plan, because really what's essential to make sure that you don't miss a payment is that you have a plan for your money. Now, with a fixed income, at least you have predictable income, right? I realize it may not be a lot, and so you're trying to make ends meet and prioritize the spending, and don't want to minimize that. That can be challenging, but at least you have predictable, steady income. So the key is trying to align your lifestyle and your spending with the resources God has provided. provided. The only way to do that is a spending plan. So what I would do is take 30 to 60 days and track everything you spend, Dale. Write it down in a little notebook. If you want to, you use a smartphone, type it into the notes, whatever it is that works for you, because you need to get a budget in place that's going to include those debt payments. And any margin that's available after you put your emergency fund in place can go toward debt reduction over and above the minimums. But having that plan is really essential. And let me just give you one other suggestion. Our MoneyWise coaches would love to help you, walk alongside you, pray with you, but also help you with the mechanics of setting that spending plan up. And they're free of charge. They love what they do, and they do it as a ministry. So if you just go to MoneyWiseLive.org, click on Connect with a Coach, there may be a 30 to 60-day wait, depending upon how many people are in line, but they'll get to you if you're patient, and they'll help you get this plan in place.
Yeah, and as you've always recommended in the past, Rob, and it's even more vital today, creditors are now more open than ever before to work with you, to adjust your payments, to make things work in the long run. Whether that's putting your payment into abeyance for a month or 60 days or lowering your payment for a certain amount of time. Anyway, banks and creditors are being very flexible these days. So, again, run toward those folks, not away. Let's go to Indianapolis. Estelle, how can we help you? Estelle, are you there? Estelle, are you there? Maybe if you'll turn off your radio, you'll be able to hear us a little better. All right, we're having trouble with Estelle. We'll come back. Freeport, Illinois. Adam, good to have you there. And what's on your mind?
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just have a question. I recently have increased the value of my wife and I's life insurance policies, at which time we went from whole life policies to a term policy. After the new policies took effect, I canceled the old policies. And with that, there was a surrender return on those policies. So my question is, will I owe any tax on that return, or is that only return of premium? And or if not, how would I determine that?
Yeah, it's a great question, Adam. And if you have a cash value life insurance policy and you surrender the cash portion, only the gain on the policy would be subject to federal and possibly state income tax. And essentially what we're talking about there is the gain is the difference between the gross cash value paid out to you and what's called your basis in the policy, which is essentially the total premiums that you paid in cash minus any dividends or tax-free withdrawals that you made. And your insurer or insurance policy issuer should be able to give you the precise amount of that in that number I'm talking about, the surrender value minus your basis. And that will be your gain, and that's probably going to be taxable as ordinary income.
Okay.
Does that make
perfect.
Sense? All
it
right,
does,
Adam.
Yeah.
God bless. We appreciate your call. Thanks very much. Augusta, Georgia, while we try to get Estelle back on the line. Hi, John. We have a couple of minutes. Let's see if we can squeeze it in, all right?
Yeah, how you doing?
Great. Thank you.
Thanks for taking my call. This problem that we have is we have two houses. One is paid for, and the one that we owe on now. Okay, well, if we sold the other one, what we get from that, we could pay this one off. Yeah. And then, see, we need another house because this one is two-story, so we need a flat level house. So we was trying to figure which is the best way to go. Is it to rent the other one out because there's some other liabilities come with that also?
Yeah.
Or is it to, you know, to take it, pay this one off, and then buy the other one? Or should we try to get the other one now, which is going to cause some other, you know, liabilities and money there to pay out. It's a little triangle there.
Yeah, you're shuffling the deck there on some real estate, no question about that. John, what do you plan to do with the home, the two-story home that you're currently living in? Do you ultimately plan to sell that?
Yes.
Okay.
We do.
All right, and what's the timing on all of this? How quickly do you want to get out of that one and get into your new one-story ranch home?
We're looking at about 2 years.
Okay. All right. Well, I suspect you have the cash flow, right, for your current property, your primary domicile, which is currently has a mortgage on it, and you have some margin left over after everything's paid. Is that right?
Yeah. We have about a little over $120,000.
Okay. And each month you're adding to that after your bills are paid?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Great.
We don't have any bills. The only bill we have is the mortgage on this house.
Sure, but then just your daily expenses, insurance and food and, you know, all the other normal
exactly.
things. Yeah, and what do you think you'll get in the way of proceeds on this second home that you plan to sell?
Well, I'll get about $140,000.
Okay, and what do you think you'll spend on the new one-level house?
We're looking at about $280,000, $290,000.
Okay, great. Let me do this. We're going to hit a break here. I've got the details. When we come back, we'll give you the answer and give you some of my thoughts. We'll talk it through.
Thank you, John. Hold on. We'll get to you momentarily. Estelle, we're coming your way. Also, Amos in Miami. This is MoneyWise Live. Stick around.
Money and life run on the same track, but unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
Every single no God ever says to you and God ever says to me will only and always be to lead us to an oncoming yes, always. And we got to be motivated by the holy yes. At the reason why I don't do this, and there are some thou shalt nots. And the reason why there are is because there is prison there. That's where my pit is. That's where my cell is, right there. It says then, offer yourselves to sin, for instance, and that's your last free act. Boy, do I know about that. But offer yourself to the ways of God, and the freedom never quits. All your lives you've let sin tell you what to do. But thank God you've started listening to a new master, one whose commands set you free to live openly in his freedom. I've kept it in context and read on to 18. But I want you to see what number one is. Number one, human independence is an oxymoron. Doesn't exist. Human independence. To put those two words together, human independence is an oxymoron. It cannot exist. And I'm going to tell you why. Because we are creatures. We're creatures. And creatures will always be dependent. The very nature of the fact that we are created beings means that we are dependent upon a creator.
Beth and the team are thankful for the grace gift to serve you. Your letters, prayers, and support are a vital part of this program. To request this month's thank you gift, text the word GIFT to 57682. Again, text GIFT to 57682 or go to bethmoore.org/donate. And thanks for listening to A Quick Word with Beth Moore.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Welcome back to MoneyWise Live, where timeless wisdom meets today's financial choices and decision. And obviously, when we say timeless wisdom, we mean biblical wisdom, God's wisdom. And that's paramount as far as this radio program is concerned. If we can help you, we'd love to try. 800-525-7000. John's in Augusta, Georgia. John, how's your day going so far?
Great.
Great.
Good. John, let me give you my thoughts on this, and I appreciate before the break you've given us all the details here. Essentially, you've got $120,000 that you've been able to sock away. You've got two homes, one that is paid off in full that you don't live in. The proceeds on that would be about $140,000. You've still got a mortgage on your primary residence, but what complicates things is you want to move to a new home that's one level to get out of that two-level home. So here's what I would be thinking about. If you don't want to sell that second property anyway, let's go ahead and do that, and we'll add $140,000 to the $120,000 you have. That's going to put you in a really strong position. It doesn't quite give you what you need to buy that new home for cash, but it does give you the ability to almost do it, because I wouldn't want you to get down to zero in reserves. So you could take out a small mortgage if you wanted to be a cash buyer, which puts you in the strongest position. And as soon as you paid off your current home by selling it, you would obviously eradicate that mortgage, and then you're debt free at that point, with plenty of money in the bank to either invest, increase your giving, or buy a second property to turn into a rental. But I'd probably just hang on to that cash, given that you're planning to buy this new home in the next 12 to 24 months. And again, if you can sock up some additional funds between now and then, perhaps you could buy it straight for cash and then focus on getting your current property sold, or you could put in a contract to sell it with a contingency on the current home sale. But in either case, I'd hang on to that money for the purchase of this next property. Do you follow that?
Yes, I do. Okay, because the key thing that you put there was to keep keep some income available. Okay,
yeah.
So that's the key thing that we're going to look at there.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
And then, I took in really well what you were saying there. So, and it's just only one other thing. For the other property, we thought about selling it and then paying off the current home. So what do you think about that? And that would be the last key to it.
Well, I'm fine with that, except for the fact that you're planning to buy yet another home, that one-level home, in the very near future. And the only way to get the money out of your current property when you pay it off is to sell it, which means that you're going to have to sell it first and try to time the closing with the purchase of the next property, unless you have somewhere to go in the interim. So the only reason I might not pay it off and keep it in reserves is so you've got that money available to buy the next property if you wanted to be able to do it prior to selling your existing home, if you follow me.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
We've been praying on it, and so thank you. Like I say, we're looking at all angles.
Very good. Well, thank you for checking in with us. If you have other questions along the way, John, give us a buzz. God bless you, sir.
Thanks, John. And obviously, we would encourage anyone to look at all the angles whenever you're making some big financial choices and decisions. And even better than that, make sure you pray about all those things. And if you're married, try to get to the point where you and your spouse are both seeing things from the same perspective, God's perspective. Not always easy to get there, but certainly worthwhile. And we have a number of resources that can help you do that. Again, just because you've been married for 30 or 40 years doesn't necessarily make or feel as though you're making all the right financial decisions. We have some marriage resources when you visit our website, moneywiselive.org. Check it out. We'll be back to say hi to Estelle after this.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
The Moody Radio Verse of the Week is found in Psalm 91, 14 through 16.
Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With a long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That is Psalm 91, 14 through 16, the Moody Radio Verse of the Week.
Like a seasoned angler, our enemy, the devil, opens his tackle box and selects the lure most likely to attract his intended prey. The lure is a lie. Each lie we bite on causes us to feel pain, injure a relationship, or miss out on God's intended purpose for our lives. Are lies holding you back? Discover the power of the truth. Lies Men Believe. Available at moodypublishers.com.
Attention, MoneyWise Live listeners. If you don't like free stuff, please change the station now. Still with us? Great. You can get free access today to the new MoneyWise e-magazine, packed with valuable expert articles, practical tips, and biblical wisdom. You'll even find exclusive podcast episodes you won't hear anywhere else. Your MoneyWise e-magazine subscription is waiting for you at moneywiselive.org/signup.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. A memorial for George Floyd has concluded in Minneapolis. Floyd family members remembered George Floyd as a caring person. More services will be held in different cities across the U.S. A judge has set bail at $750,000 apiece for three former Minneapolis police officers charged with aiding and abetting in the death of George Floyd. The Minneapolis Police Department fired them last week, and they were arrested on Wednesday. Bystander video shows a fourth officer, Derek Chauvin, pressing his knee to Floyd's neck until he stops moving. Stocks ending mixed on Wall Street after a day of wavering, ending a four-day winning streak. The Dow was up nearly a dozen points today. The NASDAQ dropped 67 and the S&P 500 down 10 points. This is SRN News.
Corinthians 13:3 tells us, and if I give my possessions, all my possessions, to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but I do not have love, it profits me nothing. Back to our phone lines, Indianapolis. Hi, Estelle. Let's give this a try again, okay?
Okay.
How can we help?
So I have a question about whether or not I should pay off my mortgage. I've saved up enough money, almost enough money, to completely pay that off. I don't have any other debt. I own three rental properties in addition that I have been able to pay off completely. And I'm working. I'm 72, but I'm still working full time. And
good
I
for
have a
you,
good
Estelle.
Income.
Yeah, well, when you're done with all that, maybe you could come host this program because it sounds like you're doing a great job. You know, I love the idea of you being debt-free. I mean, obviously, you've demonstrated the ability to manage your lifestyle, keep your expenses in check. You're still working. You've got these properties. They're all paid off in full. I mean, I think the only question I would just ask, and I suspect given everything I've heard, you've already thought through this, is I don't want you to be cash poor in the sense that I want you to have enough in the way of reserves that you can take care of an unexpected maintenance problem or repair at one of your properties that you, if you had an unexpected major medical expense personally, or, the transmission in the car goes out. I mean, things like that. That's why we like to have 3 to 6 months in reserves at a minimum. And in a season of life where you're no longer working, you don't have as much income. And I realize you're not there because you've got the rental income plus you're working, but we may even go beyond the 6 months, between 6 and 12 months in reserve. So I wouldn't want you to go all the way down to zero and have all of these assets but have no access to cash, which just limits your flexibility. But as long as you can manage that piece of it, I am all for you being completely debt-free. We see that affirmed in God's word that the borrower is the lender's slave. And so it's not that borrowers borrowing is a sin, but there are clear warnings throughout Scripture around the use of debt. And when we can be free to live or die, give or go, and follow the leading of the Lord, being unencumbered, having flexibility in our financial lives, being ready to serve Him and ready to give as He leads, both systematically as well as perhaps sacrificially, I just think all of that is supported by the idea of being debt-free. I would just be mindful as you're approaching that of just not making sure you eat up all of your reserves so you limit your flexibility. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. The reason I'm asking the question kind of is because I'm going to retire in 3 years, and yeah, we don't plan to stay in that home.
Okay.
We're going to move elsewhere and sell the four properties.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether I should continue the mortgage, and, you know, you get some tax benefit from paying the mortgage.
Sure, sure. Well, obviously, because you have
debt-free.
Yeah. Well, I think that's ultimately a conviction issue. You know, there's the pure financial side, and if we were to run the numbers and we were to look at your assets and liabilities, clearly you have far more in the way of assets than liabilities. You could liquidate any one of those properties or just pull money out of cash and be debt-free at any point. So I don't think you're in a position where you have to do anything. I think it's really just a personal conviction matter where you need to pray through, do I want to be completely out of debt and owe no man anything? And if so, then go for it. And, you know, when you sell these properties, you're going to have, you know, plenty of resources that you're going to have to decide what to do with in terms of, you know, do you invest them? Where is your finish line? How much is enough? How much giving do you want to do? All of those kinds of things. But if you decided just to keep that money in cash or even invest it according to your goals and objectives and just keep paying the mortgage, I don't have any problem with that given the way you've managed your financial affairs. I think at the end of the day, this is just really a conscience issue and a conviction matter that you need to wrestle through. And I don't think there's a right or wrong answer here. It's really just what gives you the greatest peace of mind.
Yeah. A great question, Estelle, and it sounds like you and your husband are doing well and moving in the right direction. We wish you the very best. Thank you. Let's go to Oklahoma City now. Kimberly, your stimulus check, have you received it?
Yes.
Great. And what's your question?
Well, I had kind of two questions. The first one is about should we tithe our stimulus checks and, you know, like unemployment received from the government? My second question is about paying off some personal debt.
Okay. Well, here's the first, my thoughts on the first question. You know, when we go back to the heart behind our giving, we look at the Council of Scripture, and what we see is clearly in the Old and New Testament, we're to be givers, right? Christ, God himself was the ultimate giver. He gave us his son, Jesus, right? Who paid the penalty for our sin that we might have life and be reconciled to him. So when we're giving, we're most like him. I like to say it calibrates our hearts to God's heart because we're created in his image, and we're reflecting him when we're giving. Now, how do we give? Well, I think we see that modeled in Scripture, too. We should give proportionately, which means, I would use another word, systematically, as God prospers us. So we give proportionate out of God's provision and blessing. We give off the top. That's the principle of the tithe, first fruits. And the tithe literally means a tenth. Now, some will say, and we wrestled through this on the program the other day, some will say, well, that's the law, and we're under the law of Christ now, and didn't that go away? Well, I think the bottom line is what we recognize is that Jesus raises the bar, doesn't lower it in just about every situation. And so the tithe, the tenth, should probably be a beginning point. But we don't do it to check a box or to be legalistic. We give out of a cheerful heart, recognizing God's ownership as an act of worship, and because it's an incredible blessing to participate with him in our giving. Now, how do you look at the stimulus check? Well, if you're applying the principle of the tithe, basically what you would do is you'd say, what is my increase? Because that's what the tithe was based on. Is your increase your income? Yes. Is it any provision that comes into your hand? I would say yes, and that would include your stimulus check. That would include unemployment benefits. I'd even include Social Security in there. I probably wouldn't include a tax refund because if you're tithing off of the gross, you're essentially already tithed on that. But everything else really really, I think, is evidence of God's faithfulness and provision in your life. So if you're applying the principle of the tithe, then I would say absolutely. Just tithe on whatever comes into your hand in whatever form or fashion and do it with a grateful heart, and God will honor that.
I love it. That sounds great. Thank you. Do you have time for my second question?
I do, and it had something to do with credit card debt. We've got about 60 seconds. Go right ahead.
We are wanting to pay off $18,000 in credit card debt. We have about $15,000 in savings. With the climate of everything going on right now, we weren't for sure that that was smart. And if we do, we don't want to pay taxes or credit dinged on it.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you're talking about on the taxes, but here's what I would just say. I like the fact that you would get out of debt. I want you to focus on getting out from under that credit card debt just as soon as you can. In fact, perhaps that's where you could take the rest of your stimulus check and put it. But I don't want you to pay it all the way down. You get your emergency fund all the way down to zero, especially if you have some uncertainty in the midst of these difficult times we're in as a result of the pandemic, where if you have some uncertainty around your job or your income, it's a time to preserve cash and pay the minimums. But if you have some security in your job and you feel like you could, pay that those balances down and hang on to just a couple of $1,000s and then start building it back up, the quicker you can get out from under that credit card debt, the better. Let me just throw one other option at you. You could look at debt management. Contact our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org and they could talk you through that piece of it.
Great questions, Kimberly. Thank you very much for calling in. David in Sarasota Springs, Lynn in Silver Creek. We're coming in your direction. Stay with us.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy, and I'm here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. It might surprise you to know that if you're a follower of Christ with a biblical worldview, you're now in the smallest of minorities. According to the latest Barna research, less than 30% of our pastors, 10% of our population, and 4% of millennials still hold a biblical worldview. If that doesn't drop your jaw, I don't know what will. For those of us who have accepted God's gift of eternal life through the sacrifice of His Son and our Savior Jesus Christ, it's a miracle for us to be counted among that 10%. But to whom much is given, much is required. We are in His debt. 90% of those around us are desperately searching for the peace of God that we lavishly enjoy and seldom share. How can we possibly be that thoughtless? Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone every day closer to Jesus. If you need help doing that, go to ROTW.com.
And now, a discipleship moment. Here's Phil Downer.
I'm headed this morning to Greenville, South Carolina, where businessmen are having their friends to lunch. After the meal, they want me to share about how Jesus Christ changed my life when I recognized He took my bullets for me. Just like John Atkinson, my Marine buddy, had in Vietnam. Only Jesus paid such a price for all of us voluntarily going to the cross. The lunch is at a nice club, and the food will be good. I'll share my story and, Lord willing, clearly present the gospel. Say, friend, your community, business, and neighborhood could use just such a breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Why not organize one this year? And you could share your story, your life-changing story, and see other lives changed right before your eyes.
Phil's Brave, Strong, and Tender Conference helps men face life's tough issues. For information on your church hosting Phil's conferences, go to Downer.org.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Welcome back to MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. We have some questions. We're going to get to those calls. By the way, the number is 800-525-7000, but we also have an email question from Renata. She's a U.S. vet, and we thank you for your service, Renata. She's in Florida. She wants to know about refinancing. And, Rob, she says, we bought this property a year ago. I could save 1 point on my interest rate. Should we do this? Should we refinance? We have $6,000 equity in the property.
Thoughts? Yeah, you know, I would say a point is really the minimum. I'd really like for you to save a point and a quarter or more. The key is you don't want to extend the term, Renata, but given that you're only a year in, you probably don't have to worry about that. So what I would do is I would look at, first of all, how long you plan to stay in the property. As long as you plan to stay 5 to 7 years or more, and you can save a full point on the interest rate and compare the APR to the APR, then the last step would just be to find out exactly what the closing costs are going to be. And then it's just simple math. You can look at how much you're paying in interest every month and how much less you're paying with this new mortgage, and then figure out how long it's going to take you to essentially recoup the cost of the refinance. And as long as you live in the home beyond that, then you'll enjoy this lower interest rate for the life of the loan. So you're kind of right on the bubble there. I'd look into the closing costs. I'd make sure you plan to stay there for at least 5 to 7 years. And then if all of that lines up, I'd say you can go right ahead with that refi.
Renata, thanks for contacting us. We do appreciate it. If you'd like to send a brief email to Rob, keep it brief, just a couple of lines. The address is questions@moneywise.org, questions@moneywise.org. Sarasota Springs, Florida. David, we're glad that you're out there. We appreciate your patience. How can we help?
Well, thank you for taking my call. I've been listening to this for a while, and I really enjoy the godly financial advice and just the general knowledge that I get from the show, so I appreciate it.
Thank you, David.
So I'm considering downsizing out of my three-bedroom, two-bathroom home to move to a life care community. And just by way of background, my wife and I were considering such a move, but unfortunately, my wife became ill suddenly last year, and she did not survive the illness, and she's with the Lord.
Sorry to hear
that. So the life care community has a buy-in expense up front for those people that have looked into it. That counts as prepaid medical expense. And then there's a one-time deduction of about $120,000 or so for that so-called buy-in fee. The issue is this. I have 60 days to sign a contract for such a community. So the question is, how could I finance this if my home does not sell within 60 days? And I'm not a particular fan of so-called bridge loans, but I don't know the best alternatives if I need short-term cash while my home is still on the market.
Yeah. Well, let me just define a couple of terms here. And I'm so sorry, David, to hear about your wife's passing. You mentioned life care community. And essentially what these are residences where if you need assisted or full-time nursing care down the road, you can, of course, get it there. The cost to live there has this future need built in. So the idea is that your monthly costs don't go up, even if you need the full nursing care, which is different than what is referred to as a CCRC, a continuing care retirement community, which also provides that level of care, but your costs will go up if you need access to the additional care. Of course, the benefit to that, though, is that if you don't need assisted living care or full nursing care down the road, you won't pay for it. But in both programs, most all expenses, including some or all of your meals each day, are included. Now, I'm not surprised to hear a contract is required or a buy-in. That's standard. There is usually a waiting list. So typically my advice is to get on the waiting list, put your home on the market because the real estate market is strong right now. And if your home is in a good position to sell, meaning it doesn't need a lot of repairs and it shows well, perhaps you get a professional realtor in there to give you some counsel on how you stage it. And maybe, you know, you add some landscaping to the front or, you know, some things that will just really help position it to sell quickly. You should be able to sell quickly if it's priced right. And that would put you in a situation where, you know, you then could obviously move ahead with this. I think the situation I don't want you to get in is where you put yourself in a financial bind by trying to take out a loan for the contract for the life care community and still covering, you know, the cost of your current property, unless you have the ability to do that. So in either case, I think I'd go ahead and move ahead with the sale of the property just as quick as you can. If you wanted to delay, David, moving into the life care until your property sells and try to time up the closing of both of them, would you be able to do that? Why do you have this 60-day window where you have to move ahead?
Just as you mentioned, once you are on a waiting list, you're notified, and then there's a 60-day period to sign that contract.
Yeah. Okay. And do you have an idea of how long it would take if you let your spot pass, assuming that you have you already committed?
There's no specific time period. I mean, I gave them a time period that I would consider, like, for instance, next May, I would consider, being able to make a move. So
Okay. Well, it sounds like you have some flexibility there. I mean, obviously, you could go out and get a personal loan from your bank. You know, if you have the assets and the credit score and the income, and, you know, it would be a short-term financing situation. But ideally, I'd go ahead and sell your home as quick as you can. You may need to come up with some temporary housing. Maybe you have to rent a place for a period of time, month to month, until you can sync these two things up, if that's not possible to time the closings on both. But I think the bottom line is, it sounds like you have some flexibility on the life care community. And so I'd go ahead and move ahead with the sale of your property, so you're in a good position to, you know, make this move. You may need to get off the waiting list and move to the back of the line if you're not ready, but you have that option. And I think, you know, you'll feel a lot better knowing that your property has sold before you move ahead with it, if that's possible.
Right. Yeah, that's a good thing to consider. I mean, that's what I'm trying to do, is trying to sync it up if possible, and trying not to make two moves instead of one.
Yeah, yeah. And that's always the challenge when we're moving. We'd all love to time the closing day of the sale and the buy on the same day. We walk across the hall to the other attorney's office and everything works great. It doesn't always happen that way, and so that's why we have to make contingency. The key is, we don't want to put ourselves in a difficult financial spot in doing so. So I'd opt for selling and moving twice before I would try to take both on, unless you have the ability to do so.
David, we're glad you called. Rob has a pickup truck. Maybe we can help you. Give us a call. No promises there, but
I love Sarasota.
There you God bless, David. We'll pray that God gives you real wisdom and direction as you try to find just the right day and just the right buyer. One last one, Silver Creek, Georgia. Hi, Lynn. How can we help?
Hello. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My husband and I work for the same company. We participate in the 401k program, which up until recently was being matched at 6%. We also contribute monthly to Roth IRAs. Due to stress to the company brought on by the COVID-19 pandemic, that 6% match has been suspended at least until the end of the year. So we're wondering, would it be wise for us to divert some or all of our contributions to our 401k program into our Roth IRAs. Does that make sense?
It does. And we're seeing a lot of this, you know, due to the what's going on around here. I think the bottom line here, Len, is if you don't have the match, I like the Roth IRA. So maybe you'd fully fund your Roth first and then by reducing the 401k if you can't do both. And then flip back to the 401k. Clearly, when there's a match dollar for dollar, you want to take advantage of every dollar possible going into that 401k. Right. But in the event that there's not, maybe prioritize the Roth over it. And then I suspect you're going to be able to do more than the Roth will allow. And that's where you'd go right back into the 401k. So just figure out how much you need to reduce that by to fully fund that Roth for the year for both of you.
Right. That makes sense. Thank you so much. Okey-doke.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Thanks, Lynn.
Bye-bye.
We do appreciate that. And with that, we're almost out of time today, Rob. But I wanted to recommend folks, you know, we talk a lot about getting out of debt here, developing a spending plan, a.k.a. a budget, having an emergency fund, living within your means, all those things, real positive and biblical things to do. But just us talking about it doesn't necessarily make it easy to do. Now, fortunately, free help is available to you from our MoneyWise coaches. These are a group of volunteers nationwide who offer personalized help so you can get started. And we hope avoid any snags along the way. So if you want to connect with a coach, just go to our website, moneywiselive.org, and click on Connect with a Coach. You'll find that about halfway down the page. And I'm not sure how many we have now, Rob. It's several hundred, isn't it? It's a bunch.
I think not quite that many, but we do have a bunch out there, and we're adding to them all the time. In fact, I think this year we've already trained 30 or so more. So yeah, if you want to take advantage of it, we'd love to have you do that. Depending on what's going on, some months you can get right in, other months you have to wait 30 or 60 days, but we're trying to increase our capacity all the time so those folks can be there to serve you when you're ready, and they certainly love to do that.
That's right. And if you'd consider helping our ministry, we'd be most appreciative. MoneyWiseLive.org, MoneyWiseLive.org. Click the donate tab at the top of the page. And we'd be blessed by your participation, your help, and your support. And that goes for many radio stations this spring that are looking for your help and support as well. Maybe this station, obviously it includes MoneyWise Radio, MoneyWise Live, a partnership with Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. Thanks for listening. Have a great remainder of your day. Join us again next time.